You know, we've heard a lot of things over the years about Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you that there is so much more. We haven't even, it's like an iceberg. We haven't even touched. We haven't even gotten in close to what God has for us. Amen. So, you know what? Get hungry. Go after it. Get thirsty. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about thirst this morning. And I was thinking about that Dos Equis guy. You guys remember that guy? Does anybody remember the Dos Equis guy? Hallelujah. My son quit playing just because of that. He's like, come on, man. He said, no. I guess he's supposed to be the most interesting man in the world. Is that right? Hallelujah. Is that right? And he had a little saying. Does anybody remember what that saying was? Stay thirsty, my friend. Come on, man. Come on. And that's what I'm telling you this morning. Hey, stay thirsty. Stay thirsty for the things of God. Hallelujah. You know, even the ungodly can preach it. Amen? Stay thirsty. Go after God. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's go into the scriptures. Amen? Praise God. You turn, if you will, to John chapter 4. Stay thirsty, my friend. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Does everybody have their bulletin this morning? Take a look at that bulletin. There's a lot going on. Okay, keep an eye on it. Picnic next Saturday. How many of you want to go to a picnic? Amen. Praise God. I hope it's not as hot as it, but it's always cooler up there. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll go to a picnic. If it's this hot up there, we'll be throwing one another in the water. There's not a lot of water up there, but that's okay. Amen. Hallelujah. So hope to see everybody at the picnic. We're, you know, just going to have some fun. We're going to burn some dogs. Amen. Burn some hot dogs. Yeah, hot dogs. Is that right? How many like your hot dogs burned? Hey, come on. Yeah. So now I got you thirsty and hungry. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. A lot of things going on. I thank all the folks that are just helping, pouring their lives into things in the church. Isn't that crazy? It's cool, huh? Yeah. Hallelujah. How you like the wall? Yeah. Crazy, huh? Praise God. You know, hallelujah. Yeah. You know what it means? You know what this means? We are moving forward. Amen?
Amen.
In order for us to tear apart back there, we had to put up this wall. It's a construction wall to protect all of us from going back there because we're moving forward. Isn't that cool? I believe that we got to keep moving. God is doing something, and I'm telling you, I believe that God is in control here.
Amen.
He is doing the work. He's bringing the folks. He's doing what needs to be done. Hallelujah. And so I just appreciate that. You know what? Because I can't do it on my own. Is that right? I can't do nothing without him. I have to trust him to do all the things that's going on. And I believe that God has got so much more for us, folks. It's crazy. Scary and crazy. Hallelujah. John chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for your word, God. Lord, this morning, Father, as we read your word, would you just speak to our hearts? Holy Spirit, even now, Father, begin to speak to our hearts what you would desire for us to hear this morning, Father. Father, I come against every distraction, everything that is contrary to who you are, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray for an open door of utterance for me to speak and for your Spirit to take these words into the hearts of your people to strengthen, to build, to bless. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. And he came, and then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour is 12 o'clock noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, Give me a drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that you, that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest ask him, and he would have given thee living water. Praise God. And the woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that you said truly. And the woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit. How many know that? Amen. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said to him, I know that Messiah comes, which is called the Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak to thee am he. Is that nice? Yeah. Oh, man, how would you like to be that lady? Okay, you're kind of weird, sir. But you're the Messiah? Okay, cool. All right, Matt, and we're looking at it here behind, you know. And it's just neat, the dialogue that's going on between Jesus and this woman. Amen. Hallelujah. And he tells her point blank, I am the one. I am the Messiah. And upon this came the disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out to the city and came to him. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore his disciples said to one another, Has any man brought him something to eat? And Jesus said to them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, then comes harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit into life eternal. Both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of your saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. I like that last verse where it says, now we know, for we've heard him ourselves, and now we know that he is the Savior. How many know that Jesus has to come to you personally? Amen. You can't stand on what somebody else tells you. Amen. You have to hear him and what he says to you. And you know that, you know, we preach, I preach. There's folks around you that preach. There's teachers and people are speaking to you all the time about Jesus. But the fact of the matter is they are speaking to you, but you have to hear on your own. You've got to hear Jesus speaking to you so that you might know that you are, huh? Amen. You are who you are in him. Amen. That's just the way it is. Hallelujah. You cannot go up there and stand in front of the Lord and tell the Lord that, you know, hey, well, everything that I heard Henry say or anybody else is what I believe. And the Lord said, no. You got to have a relationship with me is what he says. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So going back to the beginning of the story, and Jesus is crossing through the desert, and he stops. And how many know it's hot over there? And there's a well, and apparently Jesus doesn't have anything to drink. I mean, anything to draw water out of the well with. Is that right? He's sitting at the well, and along comes this lady, and he's thirsty. He needs some refreshment. He needs water, and I'm going to drink a little water right in front of you. Is that okay? Just so you guys can get thirsty. It's going to make you thirsty. Oh, man, that's good. Praise God. I have a little bit more because that's good. Isn't that mean? I see some folks drinking their water, sneaking something in. Look, here we go, yeah. Anybody getting thirsty? We got water if you need some water. Let me just say, Jesus is sitting on the well, and this lady comes. And you know what I love about Jesus? I love the way Jesus steps into people's lives. Isn't that crazy? I mean, it doesn't take a lot. Is that right? He tells her some pretty blunt things, doesn't he? He tells the lady, will you give me some water? She says, well, hey, the well's deep. He goes, you have nothing to draw the water out with. And he says, can you give me a drink of water? Can you give me some water? And she's giving him a bunch of stuff about, hey, the Jews don't talk to Samaritans, and you're a Jew, and why are you talking to me? Can you give me some water? I could use some water. And so she's, you know, so he tells her, he that drinks of this well shall thirst again. But he that drinks of the water that I will give will never thirst. How many know that? How many know there's a water that comes from heaven, that flows from heaven? There's a water that comes, and it's a good, amen? It's refreshing, is that right? You can be dry thirsty physically, but when God says something to you, that word is good, and it's refreshing. And it is like, hey, it's like nothing else, amen? Hallelujah. And, you know, so she's going through all this stuff, and Jesus tells her a few things. The water that I give will be a well springing up into everlasting life. Is that right? How many of you know that Jesus is that well? Do you know that? I want you to just look at a few scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 13 and 14. I want you to look at this scripture. It says this, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. And they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Do you see where the word says it? That he is the fountain of living waters. Is that right? He is who he is. Amen? He is the fountain of living waters. There are waters that flow from Jesus via the Holy Spirit. How many know that? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Check out this scripture, Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. This one comes with a little bit of a rebuke. And I'm going to tell you something. Some folks, we've got to be careful. We need to be very careful about how we're living our lives. Is that right? Hallelujah. So here, check this out. It says, has a nation changed their gods? How many think that maybe America has changed their God? Come on, man. What do you think? I mean, does it feel that way? I say, but not in my house. How many? But not in my house. I'll tell you what. I serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. He sent his son to die for me. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is my healer. He is my redeemer. Amen? Praise God. That's the God I serve, man. Hallelujah. And it says this. Has a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Folks, who's he speaking about here? He's talking about his people. Is that right? But my people have changed their glory. Who is their glory? He is their glory. Amen? He is. My people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. And then it says, be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. Number one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And number two, they've hewn themselves out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Hallelujah. How many of you like glasses that leak? Isn't that right? Everybody had to pick up a paper cup and it's leaking all over the place. So you try to erase it. See which one wins. You can get what's in it or it spills all out. I mean, how many of you like leaky vessels? Leaky cups? Nobody likes leaky things. Is that right? And this, and the Word of God says that my people have committed two evils. Number one, they've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And number two, they've dug themselves out cisterns. Cisterns And there are still cisterns. People still dig cisterns today. But generally, it's a big tank. They'll dig a big hole and place a big tank in the ground. And then they will channel water into that so they can have drinking water or water to water their fields and flocks or whatever. But a cistern that leaks that won't hold water is hardly of any value. Amen? Hallelujah. And folks, you know what? How many of you know that our vessels are designed to hold the water of God? Do you know that? God's Holy Spirit has come to live and dwell in us, and he has come that we might have water and water, more abundant water. Is that right? Because people need to hear what we have. Hallelujah. The Bible says this, he that waters shall be watered again. Is that right? So it's important that what you hear, water somebody. Tell somebody about God and allow God to minister to them. And then when you go back and you go before God begins to water you some more, it is a thing that comes and comes and comes. Watering comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. Broken cisterns. How many of you want a broken cistern? How many of you want a vessel that will hold water? Spiritual water. Come on, man. Hallelujah. One more verse. So Jesus is, it says, the Word of God says, they've forsaken me. They have forsaken me, is what it says. The fountain of living water. Hallelujah. Water that flows. Not stagnant water, but water that flows. Amen? Hallelujah. So John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. Look at this scripture. It says this. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of what? Living water. Hallelujah. It was the last day of the feast, and this was the Feast of Tabernacles. And there, in that last day of the feast, what they would do, they had a big rock that they would put out there. Because you remember when Israel was in the, when they cried unto God because they were so thirsty, and Moses, God told Moses to hit the rock. Do you guys remember that? And out of that rock flowed water. Is that correct? That's what the Word of God says. And so when he was, when Jesus was there at the last day of the feast, they had priests that would actually go out there and pour water on that rock, symbolizing what happened in that, in back there with Moses. And Jesus is seeing this, and I like it because it said he cried. Is that right? He stood and he cried out. It was almost like he couldn't contain himself. He's standing there watching. They're pouring this water, and he's watching the people, and they're looking. They go, the waters are poured from the rock. And then Jesus stands up, and he cries out. Hallelujah. What does he say? If any man thirst, hallelujah, let him come to me. Is that right? Let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I believe he got fired up when he saw what was happening. He goes, hey, I'm the one. Amen. I'm here. I'm right here. I am the rock. Amen. Hallelujah. Ooh, I don't know if you guys feel it, but I'm feeling it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I am the rock. It was, glory to God. Man, I can picture him just getting fired up and saying, hey, you got to know this. Folks, people need water. Is that right? How bad do we need water? We need water. Is that right? And how long can we last without water? Amen? Praise God. And how bad do we need spiritual water? Man, we need spiritual water. And Jesus is saying, he goes, hey, I'm the one. I'm the rock. I am the water. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus is telling this lady, he says, he goes, he that drinks of the water that I shall give will never thirst again. Hallelujah. What are you thirsty for? What are you thirsting for? Hallelujah. So this lady is listening to him, and she's hearing what he's saying. And then it kind of shifts, and he tells her to go call her husband. Isn't that nice? Jesus is mean, huh? Come on, go call your husband. And she goes, I have no husband, she says. Isn't it neat the way Jesus just steps into her life? And he says, you're right. You don't have a husband. As a matter of fact, you've had five husbands. And the one you got now, he's not your husband. Oh, I imagine the lady goes, whoa, who are you? What does she say to him? I perceive that you're a prophet. Mm-mm. Isn't that nice? She said, there's something about you that's different, man. Is that right? Yeah. She ran back and told her neighborhood, all her folks said, hey, he told me everything I ever did. But I love the way Jesus just steps into her life. And folks, do you know that we're called to step into people's lives? Do you know that? God wants us to step into their life. Just take a step in there and say, hey, you know what? God can do that for you. God can help you. Hallelujah. Remember, what was that guy's name? It was a wee little guy. Zacchaeus. Remember Zacchaeus? What's the song go? Anybody know the song? Wee little man, where's he? Hit it. Tree. Come on, amen. Praise God. Yeah, that's good, man. Hallelujah. But he climbs up in the sycamore tree because he wanted to see the Lord, right? And he was a what? What was Zacchaeus? What was his business? Tax collector. Ooh, people don't like tax. IRS, right? No. He was a tax collector, and he climbs up into a tree, and Jesus walks up to him and says, come on down, man. I'm going to eat lunch with you, bro. Come on, let's go. He steps into his life. Is that right? Zacchaeus, it was so overwhelming and powerful to him that the Lord would come to his house and have dinner or whatever it was. That he stands up during dinner and says, I'm going to give all my money back, everything that I've done. I mean, it was just that way. And you notice how Jesus stepped into their lives. Amen? Folks, we're called to step into people's lives. We're called. God has given us something. He's given us waters of life. And he's saying, all you have to do is, you know, there's a guy that you've been seeing at, I don't know, Walmart. You see him there every two or three times a week or whatever. I don't know. Some of you go to Walmart every night. I don't know. But you know, you see him there. And you can tell he's in pain. You know he's hurting. Step into his life just for a few minutes and say, hey, bro, let me, are you okay? Let me talk to him. You know what? God does love you, and he wants me to pray for you. Doesn't take much. Doesn't take much to step into somebody's life, does it? Come on. My brother was in the hospital. He was very sick. And while he was there, I was with my sister's daughter, with my niece, and my brother's son. I was with my niece and nephew. And my nephew and I had gone into the room with my brother. And while they were looking at him and talking to him, they told us, hey, we need to do an x-ray here in the room. So we're going to ask you to step out. My brother was very large. So they didn't want to wheel him down to get x-ray. They said they could do a portable x-ray there in the room. So that's what they were going to do. So they asked us to stand outside. So we're standing outside the door. And my nephew was talking to me. And and I could hear somebody. There's people all around. I could hear somebody crying, weeping. I hear a cry. And I go, who's crying? And then and there was a lady laying on a bed. And I walked over to her. And I said, are you okay? And she goes, no, she's crying. She goes, I'm in pain. So I say, can I pray for you? She says, sure. Please pray for me. So I was kind of standing this way praying for her. She's laying on this gurney or a bed. I'm not sure what it was, actually. I'm not. I don't know all the terms, okay? But I'm praying for her. And I asked God that he would help her pain. And when I stood up, there was a guy that was standing next to me. He had his hat on backwards, like I wear my hat on backwards. And he had sunglasses, and he had tattoos. And he's looking at me. And I looked at him, I go, oh. And he goes, yeah, she's my wife. I said, oh, okay, well, I was just praying for her. I mean, didn't know what the heck, man. And he didn't really do anything. He didn't say anything, you know. And then they called my nephew and I back in the room. And then I stayed a little while longer in there. And then we went out into the emergency area where everybody's the waiting room, I guess. And I was sitting with my niece. And while I was sitting there with her, this young couple came in, very, very young couple, very young. And they came into the hospital, and I saw the little boy that they had was just screaming at the top of his, just screaming. I mean, I go, wow. And I'm looking at him, and the mom goes over to sign them in, and while they're signing, and she's signing, I'm looking at the dad, and the little boy, he's holding him, and that little boy's just screaming like crazy. And I look, and that dad's got tears running down his eyes. And I could feel it. This guy doesn't, he wants to help, but somebody's got no idea. You know that? You know what I mean? How many of you know that feeling? And I had such a compassion for him. And I'm looking, and I'm telling my niece, look, he's crying. She goes, yeah, I see that. So then I thought, well, I didn't know what was going on. So I got up, I told my niece, yeah, I need to go outside and call my wife, let her know what's happening. So I went outside and I was talking to my wife. And while I was outside, the dad had come out and run over to his car for something and was coming back in. And I told my wife, hey, babe, I'll call you back. And I stopped him and I said, hey, I noticed you guys with a kid, with your little boy in there. Is he okay? And he stops and he looks at me kind of strangely like, yeah. And folks, let me just tell you, we're talking about just stepping into somebody's life, okay? just stepping in. And he goes, my son, when he grew up, there's a tube that goes from his bladder so he can pee. He says, that tube is pinched. So he's telling me, he goes, we're from Phoenix. And he goes, but he's supposed to wear a catheter. And he was down here, we were down here at a birthday party, and he was so excited playing with everything. We think that somehow he pulled it up and pulled it, so it pinched him. So now he just can't go to the bathroom. And I told him, I was like, oh, okay. I said, let me pray for you. And he looks at me. I said, can I pray for you? He says, sure. So I prayed for him and I asked, Lord, would you just touch? I said, what's his name? He says, his name is Junior. His name is Angel. I said, okay, Angel. So I prayed for Angel, and he went in. And when I came back in, I went back in with my niece again. We went back to see my brother. It was a little bit of time happened, and we came back out, and noticed that couple was gone. I said, cool, man, they're gone. They must have gotten it taken care of. So I told my niece, I says, you know what, I need to go outside and call Yolanda, my sister, and let her know what's going on. So I'm standing outside, and I'm talking on the phone, and I can hear these steps, somebody running. And the next thing I know, there's a young lady on my back. She ran and she jumped and she's on my back. And I go, hold on, I'm trying to say, somebody's mugging me. But I can tell she's crying. And finally, I get her down, and Angel, who's her husband's name, he's walking towards me. And she says, thank you so much. And I go, is he okay? Is he all right? And she goes, yeah. And she starts just telling the whole story. She goes, when we got in there, we told him all he needs to have his catheter reset and so he can go to the restroom. And they said they would do that. And she said, well, when we were there, my husband told me that you prayed for him. And she goes, and I got all excited. Yeah, she said. Who prayed for him? Some old guy out there. So they told the nurse, they said, look, he cannot pee. He needs to have that reset. And she goes, okay, we'll just put a new one. Well, when they pulled what was left out, sprinkler system. He just started, and they grabbed towels, and the nurse, she goes, that wasn't supposed to happen, right? And they're looking at me, no, that wasn't supposed to happen. So she calls her doctor in Phoenix and told him what just happened, and he said, that shouldn't have happened. The only way he can do it is if there's a catheter in there. That should not have happened. Well, it did. What should we do? Should we have them put one in? He goes, no. What for? Just bring him up tomorrow. We'll look at him. And whatever, So I believe that was the Lord. That was the Lord. So they got, yeah, praise God. So they left. So she's telling me this story. And she tells me, she goes, I work at the Greyhound bus station in Phoenix. I said, really? And she goes, just within the last month, she said, I was putting Angel, who's a little boy, I was putting him in his crib one night, and me and my husband, we do cocaine. But she said she heard a voice that told her, stop doing drugs. And she told her husband, he goes, whatever. She's telling me the story out in front of St. Mary's Hospital. She goes, I got in my car, I'm driving to work, and all of a sudden, on the radio comes this radio station. It's called K-Love. I said, really? And she goes, and what I'm hearing, I begin to cry and cry and cry. I had to pull over because I didn't know why I was crying so much. See, the Holy Spirit was after these two kids. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And she's telling me, I'm going, yeah, praise God. And she goes, and every time Angel gets in the car, he's telling me, why are you listening to this stuff? And he changed the channel. She goes, no, let's listen. But he was, he's the boss. So he would listen to what he wanted.
But she's telling me, I said, is that right, Angel? And I turn around to look at him, and he's standing, and he's weeping, just crying. And I look at him, I said, hey, man. I said, come here, man. You guys ever given your heart to Christ? And they said, no, this is all new to us. I said, come here, man. And I led them to the Lord. And when I led them to the Lord, they were hugging me. And little Angel's in the car asleep. And they said, man, that's just a miracle in itself. But they asked me something. They said, what's your name? And I told them, there's only one name you need to remember. His name is Jesus. Jesus did this for you. And they drove off. And I'm saying, yeah, come on, man. Yeah. Oh, Lord, come on. God, you're doing good. And they're driving off. And all of a sudden, I turned to go inside, and there's this guy walking towards me. He's kind of bald like Brother John there, kind of. Yeah. He's walking towards me just with intent, and he had something in his hand. I could see he was looking at me, and I kind of. And what I saw was he had his sunglasses and his hat in his hand is what he had. I thought it might have been a knife. But he stops me and he asks me, do you work here? I go, no, I don't. And he goes, well, you ought to. And I said, oh, thanks, man. He goes, that was my wife you were praying for back then. I said, oh, that was you. Didn't recognize you without the hat and the dark shades. He goes, well, that was you. And he goes, yeah. He goes, I came out and I went in to see my wife. She hadn't, and I asked, and she, what, the bed wasn't where it was at. She goes, and he goes, well, he said, so he goes, he asked the nurse, where's my wife? And he goes, well, we wheeled her over into that room over there. So he went in there, and she's sound asleep. And he tells the nurse, what'd you give her? Did the doctor come and see? No, the doctor hadn't seen. She hadn't slept for 3 days. She had had a toe that was amputated, but it had gotten infected, and she hadn't slept, and it was really bad. But she was sleeping in that room, and he came up to me, and he says, you ought to work here because my wife is sleeping, and she hasn't seen the doctor yet. It's like somebody gave her something. And I go, praise God. I said, you want to give your heart to the Lord? He goes, no. the Bible says, we just read it a little while ago, some sow, some others reap. Is that right? Well, I was just sowing. And I said, well, listen. And he told me his name, but I can't remember what it was. But I said, listen, when you go home tonight, did you see something tonight? He says, I did. I watched you with that other couple. I was watching you. Even my niece had told me, hey, that guy's watching you. Whew. That guy over there, man. And they go, man, it's like I own money. But he's, the funny thing is, I told him, I go, hey, listen. I said, when you get home, get down by your bed tonight and just thank God. Thank Jesus for what you've seen tonight. Because God has shown you some things. He goes, he has. And then he just shook my hand, and that was the end of that. And God allowed me to step into their lives just for a few minutes. Is that right? Just to give them a message. Just to say something to them. And folks, that's all they need. I mean, you don't have to do all the work of dragging them to church, grab them by the hair and drag them in here. You don't have to do that. All you have to do is just for a moment, step into their lives, talk to them, give them the word of God, and walk away. Amen? It's not hard. And somehow we think, hey, man, I don't want to bother those folks. I don't want to. My son's always telling me, he goes, hey, man, Dad, leave them alone. Well, I like people. I love people. I really do. Last Thursday, I went to a meeting in Tucson, and it was for the Care Portal. I'm going to tell you something. Care Portal, what it is a joint effort between churches and Pima County and Care Portal right now. And what's happening to me, what I see is happening, is beautiful. The fact of the matter is there's a lot of churches in this. There's quite a few different, and they're all different churches. Amen? But it's the church. And they are answering the needs of these people that have needs in child protection services,
And one of the leads, the lady was telling us, you know what? She goes, you know, we have a need. And all it is for somebody to come and rock babies that have, you know, moms they've been on drugs, and these babies they've taken them away from them, and they're going to try to place them somewhere. And she said, all we need is somebody to come in and just rock them. That's what they need. They need somebody to love on them. And man, it hit me. I go, man. Even an infant can sense the love of God, that when you just go down, pick them up. It's an amazing program. It really is. I really sense God doing something in this program, because of the fact is that it is taking our state government, and God is blending the church with it. And needs are being met, and I love it. I just sense so much that it is something that a mature body of Christ will do. Some folks, some body of Christ, some people, some churches might say, no, we don't do that stuff. Excuse me. We don't do that stuff. We are whoever we are. We are whoever we are. We don't do that stuff. We got to check with our head guy back in the Indian Ocean, how's that? Just so nobody says, oh, we know who you're talking about. No, but folks, I believe it's something that God is doing, because the body of Christ is coming together, and they're starting to look at what, man, we prayed like a body. When we prayed, we prayed like a body. And we say, you know what? God needs to meet these needs. The government can't need it. And the government, what's so cool about it, there's like five or four people, I'm not sure exactly how many, that they're Christians, and they've been asking. And God has brought this over, and he's brought it over from Texas, this project, and it's happening. Maricopa County didn't want anything to do with this project. They said, no, we don't want to do that much. But you know what? The one in Pima County is working so well. Now they're starting to look at it and say, wow, there's something to that. It's the body of Christ. It's what God is doing in the earth. And it's crazy and it's cool. And I love it. One of the workers there said something to us. He said, what's crazy about it, never before has the state government stood with their arms open saying, we need you to help. We need you to help. They have people that work there. They told us that the longest they stay working there is maybe 2 years. 2 years, because they get so overloaded and overcome by those things that they're seeing with all these kids that are hurting and all these families that are hurting. But 2 years is maybe the most they can take, and then they leave. But it's changing. It's changing. God is doing something, folks. It's the body of Christ in action. That's what I love about it. It's not just my church or this church. It's the body of Christ. But what it is, it's stepping into the lives of somebody. And we're all called to it, because we have rivers of living water within us. Do you realize that? You have rivers of living water within you that you can step into the life of somebody and say, hey, God loves you. God cares about you. He is the one that you can call upon, and he will show himself strong for you. Amen. Hallelujah. You watch. You watch this project. You watch this project. It's going to sweep the United States. Amen. You watch, because it's something that God is doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm all for it, man. As you can probably tell, I'm all for it. Breaks my heart to hear about those kids. Breaks my heart. And I want to do something for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just look at this word here. It says, verse 34, Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Folks, that's what we're about. Amen? Amen. I want to do, what did God send you for? Did he send you for a reason? Is there a purpose? Is there a plan in your life? You bet there is. And he's got it and he's holding it out to you. And you know, it could be something it can be just something as simple as going down and rocking an infant to sleep. And all of a sudden it bursts forth in your life and you say, this is what I've been waiting for. Hallelujah. Know that. Hallelujah. That's cool. Amen. To finish what he has told us to do. Amen. It's called his business. How many of you know you're businessmen and businesswomen in here? Amen. Called to do his business. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stepping into the life of someone around you, your next door neighbor, stepping into the life of that person in front of you at the checkout stand, stepping into the life of people at the doctor's office when you're going to get a checkup or whatever it is, so that the doctors can, you know what I'm saying, the doctors can tell you that, y'all, you're fine, you're good, go home. Hallelujah. Stepping into the life of somebody. Hallelujah. It's what Jesus did, and he did it all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you.